You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
An incredibly happy Monday to everyone, especially to people in Ohio. Not really. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And obviously the big news, aside from what's literally coming through right now, which is Matt Weiss, quarterback's coach, Ron Bellamy moving to the defensive side. As I say that, literally Michigan just announced it. So I already wrote about it, so whatever. We're not taking a break. We're just going. We're just doing it. The thing is Michigan beat Ohio State, number 3 Michigan, at number 4 Ohio State, haven't won there in 7 years, went into Value City Arena in the Schottenstein, whatever center, and won 92-87. And, I mean, it doesn't get much bigger or better than that, and it was an incredible game. It was an impressive game. It was a ton of fun to watch. It was, if you're sitting there looking at it, and I mean, like I've said this before when it comes to rivalry type stuff, right? I get a little bit more amped in the sense that I'm not a fan. If Michigan would have lost, I would have literally just been like, all right, let's get to work. But I do feel a little bit of that nail biting a little bit. You know, because I did go to Michigan. I don't like Ohio State. I don't like Michigan State. I spend more time rooting against them than anything. So when you see the Scarlet and Gray up against the Wolverines, and it's not the same in basketball as playing Michigan State. I will openly admit that. Football, it's whatever. You can lose to Michigan State. If you beat Ohio State, no one's going to really remember that you lost to Michigan State. 2011, I do not think at all about the Bumblebee uniform game. When I think of 2011, I think of the day that Michigan beat Ohio State. I put on my Michigan hat, went down to Balboa Island, down in Newport Beach, where the Bluths are from, to meet up with my family on my dad's side, who are all giant Ohio State fans. And I was just wearing the hat proudly. And, I mean, it was just an incredible performance. You look at, they ended up both having 11 three-pointers, which I thought is kind of crazy, because Michigan was 10 for 13 at one point, which was 78-something percent. But, and it just, like, I've said this before, when it comes to, I do 5 takeaways for these games, and I did it for football this year. I normally don't, because normally I'm on the sidelines, so normally I'm not publishing anything during the game. But this year, since I was in the press box, I do it for football. I usually have a pretty good sense of who's going to win early. And it's funny because I went into the game, and I said this on the podcast last week, thinking Ohio State was going to win. I would have picked Ohio State. I think if it was like, the game wasn't so hyped, say Michigan didn't have the layoff, they got to play throughout, and that Ohio State had maybe a couple more losses, was ranked like 20th. Say Michigan was ranked where they are, 3rd. I really would have thought that would have been the type of game that Ohio State would have won. But I think that Michigan was that much more on high alert of, we need this. Because it just seems like, yeah, it's a rivalry game, but so much of the rivalry stock in basketball is put on Michigan State. So, just a crazy, crazy game that was just so much fun to watch, and just an absolute, I mean, it's it's great for several reasons, because now you obviously are that much more in the pole position to win the conference. You basically just have to not lose two. You are in a position where you've got to, you've got to play Iowa and Illinois, Michigan State twice, and you have Indiana still. So there's a lot of stuff there waiting for you. But you really are in the pole position. You've all but solidified. Yeah, you haven't necessarily solidified that one seed, because, I mean, a debacle could happen and you could fall out of it. But if you take care of business, you're one seed. I love the region that they're projected to be in, Region 3. To me, that's it's essentially a red carpet to the like all the projections I've seen, every bracketology thing out there I've seen, is basically a red carpet to the Final Four. Whereas I think some of the other regions have some dangerous teams. They have Illinois in them, or they have Alabama in them, or they have some others. I'm not that concerned about Villanova, which is the two seed in the region Michigan has. I don't know, just a lot to really like about coming out of that. And then you've got the bragging rights, and I found it hilarious. And listen, I'm friends with a couple of the people over at 11 Warriors. Dan Hope is a quintessential professional. He's a guy that I've done crossover work with for a couple years. I've hung around him at Big Ten Media Days several times. I think he's just a great guy. I like his perspective on football, but some of the people around him have some opinions, and they put out an article today that said that Michigan's basketball win, all it's doing is masking the truth, which is the football ineptitude against Ohio State. And to me, that is the biggest whiny loser argument I've ever heard. It's the Michigan State wait until basketball just reversed. Like, guess what? You can pay attention to more than one thing at once. You can be upset that football isn't doing well, but in the same breath, be really excited that basketball did something really well. It's absolutely hilarious that is how they're trying to frame it. And I think it takes away from what Ohio State basketball's doing. Ohio State basketball, there's no shame in losing to Michigan. It sucks for them because they hate Michigan, but there's no shame in it. Michigan's the number 3 team in the country. You lost by 5. So, I mean, they didn't drop in the net or the AP. They did in the coaches poll. But, like, bracketology still has them as a 1 seed in the 4th region. So, like, it's hilarious because it's like bashing our basketball team essentially to own the Wolverines in a way. I mean, I'm sorry. If Ohio State would have won that game, we wouldn't hear the end of it. Just would not hear the end of it. So enjoy it, Michigan fans. Brag as much as you possibly can. Let them hear it. Let them feel you. In the Don Brown, I want them to feel you, whatever, and take it from there. Anyhow, we'll continue talking about the game. We'll get to some football stuff at the very end, but before we do, betonline.ag, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, the NHL, they're all in full swing. Guess what? Spring training starting too. Believe it or not, 30 degrees outside here, spring training starting. That's how close we are to not this horrible weather. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, anything your little heart desires. Real-time updated odds, perhaps on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline.ag, it has you covered for all the news, the scores, the odds. It is the best way to place your bets. And guess what? It is free to sign up. So head to BetOnline.ag using the website, Use your mobile device. Sign up today. Put in promo code LOCKEDON. Get your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's talk a little bit about the game. I don't have the stats in front of me because they were on my. I was using my iPad instead of my computer here, but Michigan had, I think, only one turnover in the second half. They out-rebounded Ohio State in the second half. They severely out-assisted Ohio State. They limited them to second-chance opportunities in the second half. This is a team that just always seems to make the right adjustments at halftime. And one of them, and this was something I was that Trent Knoop was texting me during the game, and he said, why are they not utilizing Hunter? Why aren't they going to Hunter? And my roommate, Matt Leach, is like, why aren't they going to Hunter? He's got 5 inches on anyone defending him, at least. And then Michigan's like, you know what? Threes aren't working. Guess what we're doing? We're going to Hunter. So, just really cool that that's like Hunter just made them pay. And you hear what Hunter said afterwards about, you know, I don't usually get these opportunities where I'm not doubled anymore. It was great. But I think the great thing on top of that is just that it was the role players that really got things going. Because it took a while before Livers got going. It took a while before Wagner got going. It was Eli Brooks hitting those threes early. Shondi Brown hitting those threes early. Brandon Johns had a really timely two. That's one of those things, like, you might look at the box score and say, that guy didn't really score much, but you got to kind of think about when that score came. Like, it was a huge bucket for Brandon Johns when he got that score, because that was what Michigan needed badly on that possession at that moment to keep Ohio State from pushing, because that was the great thing. It was kind of similar to the end of the Wisconsin game, just all game, where it was like Wisconsin had a lead, Michigan gets it down to two or three, Wisconsin pushes it back, and it felt like Ohio State was kind of doing that, but not quite as bad, because Michigan would take the lead, Ohio State would take it back, Ohio State would push to, you know, three, four, whatever, Michigan would take back the lead. I think it's crazy that Juwan use the boxing analogy, because that's what I kept on saying in the takeaways piece, which I wrote before the press conference, was this was a game of body blows. You know, who's sustaining the body blows? And Michigan was the one who pulled away at the end, completely able to withstand the body blows. Again, like, especially when you consider that Michigan, known as a defensive team, their KenPom ranking dropped by 4 points after poor spots from 7 to 11 after this game by allowing 87 points. But this is a team that can beat you with offense. This is a team that can beat you with defense. It just depends on the type of game you want to play and what is going to work the best for them. That's what makes this team so incredible. And on top of it, it's okay, Hunter Dickinson, Isaiah Livers, Franz Wagner, not lighting up the box score in the first half. Well, guess what? Eli Brooks is going to do it. Mike Smith is going to help out. Austin Davis is going to get in. Brandon Johns is going to get a timely basket. Shondi Brown is going to come out and be on fire. And then those other guys are still going to be those other guys once they kind of get into a rhythm. You can take away the best players for Michigan, and the other ones will still kill you. I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated for the rest of the regular season or all the way, but, I mean, it just doesn't seem like they, aside from that one Minnesota game without Eli Brooks, it just doesn't feel like this team has an off switch. It's like this team finds a way to get it done. It finds a way to figure it out. Things were tight in that game all the way through until the last 2 minutes, and then Michigan pushed the score to 8, and even then, Ohio State wasn't giving up. They weren't like, well, I mean, they kept it interesting, even though it just was out of reach for the most part, as long as Michigan did the right things. Michigan gets that inbound in like they did, all good, right? Ohio State steals it, gets a three, then we're talking a completely different story. Just really impressed with what they were able to do in this one. More so, I think this was the best win any team has had in college basketball. I've seen some people say, no, nah, there's some, you know, Gonzaga and Baylor have also had. Listen, Ohio State very well could end up a one seed, and a couple teams have beaten them, but it's a little bit different because it's not just, yeah, they lost to Minnesota. They got ran out of the barn the same way Michigan did. This is a situation where they went up against a rival that they wanted to take down in the worst way. This is the top matchup these two teams have ever had in basketball. And Michigan finally got its big thing that we've been waiting for. It finally got, you know, its 1-versus-2 type game. It's 2-versus-3 type game. I know it was 3-versus-4, but when you look at some of those games that haven't gone Michigan's way that were close, finally the basketball team is the one that gets it done. Now, I know we all want it to happen in football. Hopefully it will. Whatever. But, okay, we're going to talk football here in a moment. Today's a big day. They obviously just announced Matt Weiss. I'll talk about that. We'll talk about the fact that spring practice starts today. It started today. We're here. And I am very excited about it. But, all right. I got to talk to you about Built Bar because you know how much I love Built Bar. Protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's low calorie, low carb, low sugar, high protein. I'm anxiously awaiting my box of the coconut brownie chunk, which was a limited time deal I got a couple weeks ago. And it's that should be in the mail here pretty soon here. I'm super amped because it is so delicious. I mean, any of their flavors are so delicious. The problem is, and I'm watching my girlish figure now, and I'm tracking my calories. My problem is, how am I going to limit myself to one? Because they are that delicious. But they've got the macros that I need and everything. I mean, maybe it will be like a quasi-meal. Have two or three Built Bars in one go. That's like a meal. Not advocating for that, but I'm saying maybe that's something you do. Listen, I keep on putting my money where my mouth is over and over again. What are you waiting for? Go to BuiltBar.com, put in that promo code LOCKEDON, get 20% off of your next order. That's what I did, and I seriously just cannot wait for them to come. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. All right, so we're going to read this together because that's where we're at. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here's what Harbaugh had to say about Matt Weiss, another guy they took from the Baltimore Ravens. He was with them for 12 years. He becomes Michigan's quarterback's coach. He was a running back's coach with the Ravens most recently. And he's a guy who was a grad assistant on the defensive side of the ball and special teams with Harbaugh at Stanford from 2005 to 2008. So Harbaugh says, I am really excited about reconnecting with Coach Matt Weiss. We have a great relationship from our time together at Stanford, and he brings a great deal of experience coaching all three phases of the game in addition to his strength in that area of analytics and game strategy. He's a great teacher and will be an excellent role model for our student athletes. We are excited to have Matt, Melissa, and their children, Bowen, Susanna, and it says Noema, is it Naomi? I don't know. Join our Michigan football and university family. Matt Weiss says, I am excited about the opportunity to coach at the University of Michigan, help contribute to the winningest program in college football history. I look forward to reuniting with Coach Jim Harbaugh, learning our offensive system, and building relationships with the staff and student athletes. I heard that University of Michigan is a special place in my family, and I are thrilled to become a part of the University of Michigan community. Go Blue. So, he did a really good job with J.K. Dobbins. He's done a really good job with Mark Ingram, but now he is going to be the quarterback's coach. And he was a quarterback's assistant, in 2016 and 2017. And then he was like the football strategy coordinator in 2018. And then the last 2 years, he's been the running backs coach. Now, I see these people saying that things like Harbaugh is just throwing darts at a board and stuff. Like, if you think that this isn't thought out, you don't know Jim Harbaugh. Have things worked? No, but like, let's not grasp at straws. I mean, I think it's a questionable hire in the sense of, all right, we just had Mike McDonald talk forever about how he, well, I guess it's not really, because here's how it's going. Ron Bellamy moves over to work with safeties. George Hillo will coach linebackers, which was his position that he was coaching at Maryland. So that makes sense. So I was about to say Mike McDonald was just saying that he didn't want to coach a particular position, but I said that in the article before all this came to light. It's just a weird retooling. I really liked the idea of Harbaugh working with quarterbacks, but I guess it's like when Brian Jean-Marie up and left for Tennessee out of nowhere Friday, and not something I expected. It happened while I was out running to get dog food for Zuri and had to write it on my phone, which is always the most fun thing to do in the world. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you lost a recruiter and now you got another guy who isn't used to recruiting, but it's another NFL guy. I know people complain about the fact that, hey, we don't, you know, what was I going to say there? People just complain about anything anyway. Oh, there's what I was going to say. People love to complain about the idea that this is a guy that hasn't, you know, he hasn't been coaching in college. It's such a like weird complaint, by the way, or well, he hasn't called plays. Like that happens in the NFL all the time. You see a guy, and it happens everywhere all the time, really, because you got to become a coordinator somewhere. So for McDonald and for Gattis and whatever, like you've got to eventually get that shot. You know, if like you're gonna get it, and if you can make an argument that is Michigan the place that you do it, I don't think it matters. And for Weiss, he's got a track record of being a good coach and a good teacher, and that's the most important thing. And he's got experience with Harbaugh at Stanford. Michigan's even that much more younger because the oldest coach that was on staff, Brian Jean-Marie, gone. Matt Weiss, the guy that's my age, in. Younger than me, but still. And I think it's really important that they filled this role before spring practice. I was after I got off air from the M Zone on Friday, I talked to Jamie Morris for a little bit about Jean-Marie being gone, and I said they better hurry up and fill this vacancy by the time spring practice starts on Monday. Don't start spring practice with a shorthanded deck. Yeah, people shuffled last second, and that is what it is. I'm fine with the idea of, all right, now you don't have a wide receivers coach. That still falls on Gattis. I'm fine with that. Bellamy, like, yeah, he was a wide receiver. You don't have to play coach your position. He was a head coach on the high school level. He knows what it takes. And that's going to help with guys like, I don't know, Dylan Tatum, who is a guy that plays safety and linebacker, depending on the role, on top of playing running back at West Bloomfield. Like, you want to talk about Nace in the Hole? Granted, I said forever ago that if I had a crystal ball still, I would have put it in for Dylan Tatum to Michigan forever ago. But anyway, last thing here, spring practice, now that it has started, this is great. It's amazing. I know that I'm sure that they're not going to be doing a lot outside. I walked by earlier today, walking Zuri, and all quiet on the Western Front. Granted, it was like 2, so usually these things don't start till 3, 4 o'clock. Meetings at 3, 4, hit the field, whatever. That's not an exact science there, but I'm just spitballing as far as time's concerned. Just now that they get it and having it start when it does, I don't know that that's a reaction to what happened last year. I saw one team, I can't remember who, saying that, like, yeah, we're going to start on March 9th. Michigan's not even going to wait for that. Last year it was going to start late March. I heard people say, like, well, it's, you know, this can't be on accident. This is whatever and blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing about some of these previous years and why spring practice started when they did. They were set to coincide with the end of the semester, so it, because they were taking trips, right? This is one of the things, like, still, again, stop grasping at straws and trying to make it into something. The previous year's spring practice generally started late because, and they would have their spring practice. They'd still have the spring game around the time that people, you know, other teams would. And then they'd continue spring practice for a little while. They'd go on their trip, and they set it up so that when they were done with their trip, guys could stay overseas or go other places overseas, get internships at other places. That's how it was set up and why it was set up that way. In general, let's just stop grasping at straws and just see how it works out. Okay? Nothing we can do about it right now. All the people complaining, well, Harbaugh was retained. Okay, well, guess what? He's retained. So, hope it works out. Nothing you're going to do about it right now. If it works out, sweet. If it doesn't, terrible. Wouldn't you rather it work out? I don't know. My two cents there. All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with Locked On Iowa, giving us a little bit of a preview of what to expect from the Hawkeyes, the vaunted Hawkeyes who are coming into town on Thursday. So we will have that for you sometime tomorrow, Tuesday. And, yeah, also, tomorrow will be the last Locked On College Football for me. We are shutting it down, which makes it that much easier for me to do Tuesday episodes of this. So there you go. All right, cool. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.